Good morning. How many of you brought a Bible this morning? All right. You can keep it shut. You're never going to hear that at the Rock, but this morning you get to keep it shut. And the reason that you get to keep it shut is because you get to walk into the Bible. I grew up in the 60s, and we used to have a show called Gumby. And you remember Gumby? Yeah. And he can walk into any book with his pony pal Pokey. Anyways, we're going to walk into, it's going to be a little different than when you come to church on a Sunday morning. Here was your first clue, you know. But the reason we're going to walk into the 18th chapter, the first verse of the book of Jeremiah. Let me read it to you so you'll understand what's going to take place here this morning. It says, "Arise and go to the potter's house, for there I'm going to give you my message." So Jeremiah went to the potter's house and he watched the potter work on the wheel. Now the pot that the potter was shaping from clay, it became marred in the potter's hands. So the potter, he formed it into another vessel, seeming best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, wrote Jeremiah, "O house of Israel, can I not do to you what the potter has just done to the clay, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel." Now the word Israel translates governed by God. Governed by God. We are not born automatically into a life that is governed by God. No, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that we were born separate from God. What separates man from God? Sin. Bible says sin separates man from God. I know at the time in my life that my sin was separating me from God. Now, God also gave man a free will to believe. I'm going to share biblical truth, back it with a personal testimony, scientific fact, and yet you can still walk out of these doors and go, "I don't believe it." And you know what? You don't have to. It doesn't mean it's not true. Here's what I mean by that. How many of you got a driver's license? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you. Okay. On the driving test in California, red means, okay, we've been out here 2 months and you're not all practicing that. And here, so that free will that you exercise when you run red lights, don't exercise it this morning, because this morning's message is going to be one of those great, really simple messages. You know, it's not going to be filled with Hebrew or Greek. You're not going to be leaving the service and go, "Hey, what was the preacher trying to talk about that?" No, it's going to be potter clay. What part don't you understand? Let me prove it to you. What do you guys see in my hands? Right answer. 8.5 pounds of it. Do you know they tell me thousands of people in all five services are going to see this? And everybody's going to answer it exactly the way you did. Clay. There's only going to be one that would answer it differently. That would be me. I would answer it this way. I would just reach down and show you this. You see, I see something other than you. With 8.5 pounds of clay, this is what I made. Now, I'm here today to tell you that I don't want to look at you the way that you looked at me or we look at each other this morning with natural eyes. I want us to take a second and to take a look at each other with spiritual eyes. Because the potter sees something other than all of you and I see of each other. And I say this to you, what would our world be like today if we looked at each other in the vessel of which God created us to be? I can say this to you today. I am here today because this woman did not look at me this way. She looked at me this way. Now, for 28 years of my life, I exercised my free will, and I chose not to believe in God, okay? There might be some people here today going, "Well, I don't believe in God either." Okay, well, just be open then, because the Bible says for a man who doesn't believe in God, here's one word, fool. Here's what the Bible says, fool, and I can tell you I was a fool. But I didn't believe. Why? My heart was hardened. I was blind, spiritually speaking, and I was lost. And by the way, too, may I say that I come from 4 generations of heathen, filthy dog pigs. We were godless for generations. It was generational heathen dogging, okay? My wife, on the other hand, she grew up in church. She doesn't remember a time in her life she wasn't in church. She remembers the day that the 11-year-old girl came out of the pew and received Christ as her Savior, like some of you will do today. She remembers the time she shared her faith publicly for the first time. It was at a beauty pageant, Miss Thomasville, Georgia, and she won. Yeah. She went to the Miss Georgia pageant, and she won Miss Georgia. Yep. She went to Miss America, and she finished in the top 50. She got a degree in journalism from the University of South Carolina, but it was when Pam went off to New York City desiring to be in a musical. She's cast in the Broadway musical 42nd Street, and it's there that my wife, that bad company started to corrupt good character. Bad company, Christian, corrupts good character. It wasn't like she woke up on a Friday morning and said, hey, it's Pam. You want to backslide with me this weekend? It wasn't like that. No, it was subtle. Subtle compromise. And over a period of 7 years, she found herself so far away from the Lord. And this is where she met me. Now, so my wife meets me. And 3 weeks after we met, we went to Las Vegas and got married. Don't do that. But 4 nights after we got married, Pam went back to church for the first time in 7 years because she had just married Satan. And she walked into a church called Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and there was a pastor by the name of Pastor Chuck Smith preaching on the grace and the mercies of God. And the prodigal daughter came home on September 30th, 1987. And we started to attend a church. Listen up, Christian, listen up. No water, no pot. How important is the word of God to a Christian? Well, it's as important as the water is to a potter. If you have no water, you have no pot. Your heart becomes hard. The clay will become hard, just like our hearts do, without the word of God and the Holy Spirit, the potter's hands. Now, I got to tell you, I started to attend church with Pam, and in a very subtle way myself, I started to dig church life. Yeah, started to go to church Wednesdays and Sundays, and started, you know, I had Jesus in my life, but he wasn't my life, and I just started to play the role of Christian. I got myself a fish, put it on my bumper, because everybody, I got myself commentaries, I had some t-shirts, I did the Christian thing, and as you looked at my life, you would say, he's a Christian. He's got to be a Christian, look. He's married to a Christian that sings on the worship team. I can tell you I was no more a Christian because I went to church than when I wasn't. Really? Yeah, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Thought it did. I had Jesus in my life. He wasn't my life. You're going to watch what it is to be surrendered today. You're going to watch what it is when the potter governs a piece of clay. My life was not governed by God. That's what the word Israel translates, governed by God. This will be 50 pounds of clay that's fully and absolutely governed by me. That was not my life. Now, what happened was that God brought me to that place is that he brought my life to a place of brokenness. Blessed is a man who fears God. I had no fear of God. But he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. Here's a piece of clay that's had no water on it for one day. Rock hard. That was my heart. And the only way that God could use it was he had to bring it to full brokenness. How'd that happen? God used the man to confront me. 3.5 years after I started attending church, he brought me to this church down in South Florida. Now Pam and I are living down there. And this guy took me to breakfast. Now, he was an elder of the church. Now, when the elder asked me to have breakfast with him, I thought they were going to make me an elder. That's another message I'll bring some other time. Yeah. But anyway, I'm sitting down. I'm thinking, I'm going to be an elder, you know. And he sat me down. He said, Mike, have I loved you as a brother in the Lord? I said, you have. He said, good, you're not going to like me after breakfast. I said, why? What's up? He said, you're a phony. You're a hypocrite. You wear a mask. You play with God. You know it. I know it. And God knows it. And your wife told my wife. You know. So I'm driving home, man. And this is August 2nd, 1991, right? So I'm driving home and I'm thinking, pull the honking redwood out of your own eye, bro. You can't talk to me that way. I'm an usher and I got a badge. And I'm driving home, right? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God says he's right. The Spirit of God falls on me and brings me to this place of confusion and conviction. You see, my heart was broken because my marriage had failed with Pam. This outward display, the Bible says, man sees the outward, but I, your God, I see your heart. My heart was so hard, so cold towards God. My relationship with God was out here. And the best way for me to explain it is my Christianity was me using God. That is not Christianity. Christianity is God using man. So I now have this outward display. I'm my heart is broken. I don't know what to do. And God is saying, today, who will you serve? I touch the door to my house, and all I can tell you, Christian, is the power of God fell. This is a spiritual thing. I don't know how to describe it to you or anybody else. It far transcends anything I'm capable of describing. But what took place on August 2nd, 91, I fell down and just started to cry. And I just said, that's it. I'm done. I'm tired of fighting with you, Lord. Jesus, I need you to forgive me. I get it, man. I need your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? He said, Mikey, I already have. What will wash away man's sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make a man whole again? Nothing. You see, this clay can't make itself right with me. And what the Lord was showing me, it's not what I can do for him that matters to him. He just longs for his children to respond to what he did for them. It's a little heart adjustment. Now, listen, I came up from the piano. I didn't know if he was going to heal my marriage. I didn't know that. I just knew this. When I came up from under the piano, I know that I deserve the hottest, stinkiest spot in hell, man. But I was going to heaven. And I was going to heaven not by anything that I can do, but what the Lord did for me. I grabbed my car keys. I drove down to the church. I went into the office. I said, Pastor Bob. He goes, hey, Mikey, I've been a phony for 3.5 years. Yeah, no kidding. I said, did you know it? He goes, everybody knows that about you. I said, well, I'm not anymore. Here's what happened. He goes, you're born again. I go, I'm born again, Bob. He goes, man, you need to go tell Pammy. So I went and found my wife and said, Pam, listen, I've been a rotten husband. Jesus has forgiven me. Will you? She said, maybe. Now, here's what happened. She now starts to see what you're going to see. Listen up. This piece of clay, it will be as if God picked me up that day and he set me on the rock, his son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do a good work which God has done in advance that we should do. Now, there is no way that you can be governed by God unless you come through the Son. Jesus Christ came to die. That is why he came to earth. He came to die. For God so loved you and I that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. You see, the Lord showed me clearly on that day that we've all been created by God, John's Gospel, first chapter, but we're not all children of God unless we receive him. You see, this gift of salvation is free. But to have a gift that you need, you've got to recognize you need it. And you can see that the grace and the mercies of God always come from the backdrop of our sin. So now my wife is, through the backdrop of her own sin, realizing, I've got to forgive this guy. I want to forgive this guy, but Lord, my heart is hard towards this guy. I'm not lying to you. You see my heart. You know it is. What do I do? Would you soften it? Could you soften my heart towards Michael? Because I'm watching change. You know what the Lord did? He softened her heart. He gave her this song. She's going to sing it for you right now, and it's called Soften My Heart. Now watch this. When I start to work with this clay, the first thing that happens is the clay's going to go, no, I don't want him. Ah! But you know what's going to happen? About 2 minutes into it, the clay's going to finally surrender. And you know why? Because it's going to understand what it is to really be intimate with the potter himself, Jesus Christ. And it's finally going to surrender and it's going to give up its rights. And once that 50 pounds of clay gives up its rights, it's all mine to do whatever it is that I want to do. I believe there are Christians right now in this room that you've received Christ as your Savior, but you've still maintained your rights as a person. You can't be a disciple, and we've all been called to be a disciple. It says to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. I got a plan for this piece of clay that far exceeds anything it could ever hope for or imagine. And I say this to you because the clay has no idea what the potter's going to do. None. Watch what happens to a piece of clay that goes, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I got, everything I'm not. Watch. Thank you.
I heard your voice today, then turned and walked away. My heart is now a hardened piece of clay. Just like a broken shard, this pride has made me hard. Let this cup pass from me. Soften my heart, Lord. Soften my heart. Tear down the walls that keep us apart. Soften my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my everything. Soften my heart. Look deep within and see, refine impurity. Create in me a sensitivity. And with your gentle words, a voice inside me heard. Oh, quietly, oh, work in me. Soften my heart, Lord. Soften my heart. Tear down the walls that keep us apart. Soften my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my everything. Soften my heart. Chisel away at this heart of stone. I'm yielded and still. Make it pure like your very own. I want your perfect will. Soften my heart, Lord. Soften my heart. Tear down the walls that keep us apart. Soften my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my everything. Soften my heart. Soften my heart, Lord. Soften my heart. Tear down the walls that keep us apart. Soften my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my everything. Soften my heart. I give my everything, Lord Jesus. Soften my heart. Soften my heart, Lord Jesus.
So amazing to me that 2 months ago, Michael and I celebrated our 22nd wedding anniversary. God is indeed a God of miracles. It's also amazing to me how He took two people that couldn't stand each other at one time And he remolded us. He reshaped us back into one flesh centered on Jesus Christ. We don't have a perfect marriage. I don't want to give anybody that impression in here. But we have a marriage today that's centered on Jesus. And that's the biggest difference than what it was 22 years ago. Michael wanted me to share with you this morning what was happening in our marriage, because if it'll help one of you in here, if you're single or if you're married, then it was worth all of the pain and all of the heartache that he and I've had to go through as a couple in order to offer you that hope here this morning through Jesus Christ. For the first 7 years of our marriage, about every 2 weeks or so, Michael and I would have what I refer to as these major confrontations in our marriage. He and I would have horrible fights with one another, and we would verbally abuse each other. Now, we both have type A personalities, so we don't sugarcoat anything. We go right for the jugular vein. So only the Lord could go back in there and heal the wounds that he and I inflicted upon each other's hearts with our words. But during these fights, Michael would cross the line of anger verbally. He would then proceed to step over that line into rage. Michael would rage on me. I was always the brunt of his rage, but I knew in my heart I wasn't the cause of it, and I knew the Lord wanted to reveal to him what the cause of this deep-seated anger was in his heart, so I started praying for him. I used to go in while he was sleeping at night. I would lay my hands on him while he was asleep, and I would pray for him, and you know, the work not only began in his heart, it actually began in my heart first. If you watch his hand this morning going way deep in the center of this pot, it's going to be a really deep process. He'll take his hand all the way to the bottom. What he's actually going to do, he's going to start to scoop the gunk out of the center of that pot. Do you know why? Because it's still full of itself. We have to give Jesus permission to go deep into the hidden chambers of our own individual hearts to reveal our own personal gunk. And if we ask him to, he'll be so faithful to shine that Holy Spirit searchlight deep within our hearts. He'll start to show us the things that don't bring him glory. And if we confess these sins to him, and if we repent, which simply means to turn around and go in the opposite direction than what we were going before, he'll be so faithful to start scooping that gunk out of our hearts. He'll take it out piece by piece. He'll cover our sins with his blood. He'll take our sins as far as east is to west, and he will never, ever bring them up again. That's the wonderful God that we serve. The Lord said to me one day in that still, small voice, he said, Pam, you're harboring hatred in your heart towards Michael. This doesn't bring me glory. Will you surrender this sin today at the foot of my cross, my daughter? Pam, you're holding bitterness and resentment. You're holding on to unforgiveness inside towards Michael and others, and this is not a Christ-like characteristic. Would you surrender this at my feet? Pam, you hold grudges against Michael. You're critical of Michael, and you're critical of other people I've made in my image. Would you surrender this sin today at the foot of my cross? As the Lord started healing Michael, little by little, he was revealing to him what was causing his anger deep in his heart, which was, number one, rejection issues he has to deal with every day of his life. Number two, abandonment issues. Number three, issues of neglect. And as the Lord is continuing to reveal things to him every day, it's kind of like peeling back that proverbial onion peel piece by piece, and he's giving him revelation. He's showing him truths, but he's healing him each step of the way as he goes. I'm watching this man of God unfold before my very eyes. And one day, Michael, we were praying for him, a bunch of friends. He laid in my lap, and he broke. He broke in two and started crying from the bottom of his toes all the way up to the top of his heart. And the Lord healed him of that rage. And since 1995, he has never had a rage fit since. Amen. God is a God of the impossible. And he wants to heal us. The Lord forgives us completely. And how dare I not be able to soften my heart with God's help to forgive him for the verbal abuse and the pain and agony that it caused. Because I was so backslidden for 7 years. He poured his grace upon me. So how dare I not pour my grace upon my husband? Forgiveness is so important in our Christian walk, and it says that if we can't forgive others, then Christ can't forgive us. That's what it says in the Bible. And if you're here this morning and you're struggling with forgiving someone, call upon the Holy Spirit of a living God to come inside of you and to empower you to forgive that person. And he will do it, and you will see yourself set free. Are you happy here this morning that you're forgiven by a loving and forgiving God? Say amen. Amen. I wrote this song about forgiveness a few years ago, and I pray it blesses you this morning.
Doing fine, so I thought, on my own. I'd been taught to live for myself. Life was all about
about me. Truth be told, I was blind. Darkened powers ruled my mind. All I believed in was based on a lie. I'd been offending the God who was watching. My sin had built up a mountain of debt. God made a way. The Son had to pay. His blood atoning, my ransom was met. Is this good news or what? I'm forgiven. On the cross, in one final blow, death was undone and my pardon won. Beneath that crimson glow, on that cross, in our place, Jesus bore our disgrace. Father, forgive them, he prayed with a groan. Drops of blood flowing down found their way to the ground. God turned away as his Son died alone. There is a river where sin is forgiven. Bathe in it, plunge in it, and be made whole. We can be washed, yes, whiter than snow. Blood flows from Calvary, reviving the soul. Is this good news or what? I'm forgiven. On the cross, in one final blow, death was undone and my pardon won. Beneath that crimson glow, sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Is this good news or what? I'm forgiven. On the cross, in one final blow, death was undone and my pardon won. Beneath that crimson glow, death was undone and my pardon won. Beneath that crimson flow, beneath that crimson flow, beneath that crimson
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm.
You have called me to this passage, and I'll follow, though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your lightness, let me wake. Jesus, guide me through the tempest. Keep my spirit stayed and sure. When the midnight meets the morning, let me love you even more. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wake. Let the treasure of the trial form within me as I go, and at the end of this long passage, let me leave them at your throne. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wake. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of this long passage, with your likeness, let me wake. And at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wake.
Occasionally, God just grips me, man, when I do this, because you got to know, I am that pot. I'm that vase that collapsed. I'm that marred vessel in the potter's hands. And when you're marred and you know it, the last thing you think is that God could possibly even begin to use someone whose heart was as wicked as mine. You see, the Bible says when the prophet Samuel is speaking to the house of Jesse, to Jesse, and the next king of Israel is coming out of his house, 1 Samuel 16, he says, God speaks to the prophet, he says, Samuel, man looks at the outward, but I, your God, I see your heart. You see, I'm sitting in church. My heart is so far away from the Lord. I'm stuck in alcohol and in drugs and in perversion and rage and unforgiveness. And I've got this fish on my car and my hands raising high. And when the guy called me on the carpet, God called me on the carpet. God just used the vessel to call me. It was the best carpet calling I ever had. But when you're collapsed and called to the carpet, the last thing you think of is that you can ever be used. God says, on the contrary, you're the ones that I use. This was many years ago, but I came up from the brokenness and going, Lord, I'm 32 years old, now what? And he says, now what? Now let's get started. You see, you all thought I was making that beautiful vase. I've always been making the bowl. I wanted you to see what Jeremiah saw 2,600 years ago. The pot became marred in the potter's hand, so the potter, he formed it into another vessel that seemed better to him. And then the message came to me, wrote Jeremiah, O house of Israel, O house of Rock Church, can I not do to you what Mike has just done to the clay? That's what God was saying to me, bringing back to me my own message. You're not going to be a vase, you're going to be a bowl. But in the bowl, I'm going to stretch you. But in that stretching, you'll bear much more fruit. So you need to know, God wanted me to understand that he had a plan for my life. I was so far away from that. I didn't believe that he could. And the reason is I never had a sense of purpose or value or, you know, and yet God's word says that if I was the only one that lived, he would have sent his son to die for me. But my belief, my faith, you know, what Pam was talking about, faith is living with absolute confidence in what God has promised through his word. Even before the fullness of that promise has been seen. You see, God wanted me not only to believe that he had a plan for my life, but that I was living my life as if he did. And he had to give me a verse. God's will for our life is in his word. I didn't believe it because, well, I was born in 1959, and I say this to you because I was born on the 8th day of October. By Christmas of that year, my parents were divorced. 59, divorce was not prevalent in our society. It left me with great levels of insecurities, inadequacies, just a lot of issues all the way through my 20s and the early 30s. I had these rejection issues. I had anxiety. My heart was hard. My heart was distant. And yet God saying, Mike, I want to be intimate with you. I don't even know what that looks like, Lord. He says, believe. You got to believe that I want it first and then move towards it, not away from it. And the verse that he gave me was Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, before your mom and dad ever knew you, I knew you. What? Yeah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were ever born, Mikey, I set you apart. Here's what happens at conception. Long before mom and dad even knows they're going to have a child, God says, hey, grab the female egg, largest cell in the human body. You can actually see it. It's one of four cells with the naked eye. One drop of the dad's sperm. 2 billion human beings at the time of conception. God says, come forth today. 23 chromosomes in each one of those cells. And he says, I'll put a name to it, Mikey. Come forth today, my potter. I got a plan for your life. You'll reject me for 28 years. And if you have any doubt that I am who I said I am, know that I'll be knitting together the 100 million receptors in your eyes so you'll be able to see. 26,000 fibers in each one of your ears so you can hear. Your heart's going to pump 34 million times a year. Your blood through 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and tubing. 206 bones, 500 muscles allow you to walk. When I form your heart, it'll pump 34 million times a year. Your blood through 60,000 miles of veins, arteries, and tubing. Your brain, 3 pounds of brain mass, 13 billion nerve cells allows you to recall everything you've ever tasted, done, or smelled. You're the most complicated combination of molecules ever to be set into motion. Mankind will never be able to comprehend what I do our period of 9 months wrapped in water, tied to a cord, feeding on the mother's body. And yet, Mikey, you always thought you were a self-made man. For you are my workmanship. You see, my friends, the clay doesn't know what the potter's doing. I go to my pastor in 1991. I go, Bob, I'm in great levels of compromise. I'm selling mortgage-backed securities. I'll talk to you guys later. I was raising money on Wall Street. I was a regional marketing director. And Bob's going, you got to quit. And I go, what would I do? He goes, what do you want to do? I said, if I could do anything. He goes, anything. I go, I'd be a potter. He goes, do it, man. I go, but how do I live? He goes, don't worry about that. Who do you think would give you that desire? And I go, God? He goes, God. So I went home, and Pam's laying in the sun. She goes, how did your lunch with Pastor Bob go? I go, oh, I confessed and told him I was compromising. He told me I should be a potter. She goes, you should. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I'm reading this book by Melanie Green. It's called No Compromise. I'm asking the Lord right here, just now, Lord, give Michael and I a ministry like this couple. So I'll provide for us. Quit your job and let's do something because this is going to kill us. So my wife's a headline entertainer on 7 major cruise lines. She books a bunch of cruises. I leave Wall Street and I start, doing the pottery business. And so, you know, as Pam's providing, the money starts dropping. So we go from steak and lobster to weenie and beans, you know, in 7 months. But here's what God was doing. God was getting me out of my chosen profession and moving me into his desire for my life. And so as Pam and I moved into a little apartment, you need to know the clay, we didn't know what he was doing. We just got out of the 4-bedroom home, the Porsche, the Mercedes. Those things had started to grow strangely dim, and we moved in this apartment, and I hated this apartment. So the Lord sent me on a short-term mission trip. The clay, again, doesn't know what the potter's doing. I come back, and I'm broken and busted because I'm all, you know, convicted because I'm living in this little 900-square-foot apartment, and I hate it. And the Lord took me down to Honduras, and I, you know, saw things, heard things, and smelled things I never heard, seen, or smelled before. I said, Lord, forgive me. He goes, don't worry about it. I said, Lord, why did you send me down there? He says, what are you going to do about the children? Lord, I'm a missionary. I mean, what do you mean? I'm a potter. What do you mean? What am I going to do about the kids? He said, what are you going to do about the children? I said, well, Lord, what would you have me do? He said, well, over and above your first fruits to your home church, I want you to sponsor that little girl. I said, that's $20 a month. I don't have $20. He goes, what do you have in your hand? I said, remote control. He says, well, what's that to? I said, my cable. He says, well, how much is cable? I said, $38. The clay, Pam and I don't know what God's doing. This was 16 years ago. Pam, yeah, babe, over and above our first fruits, we're going to sponsor that little girl. Praise the Lord. Right? So we grab this glass, and we empty out our 67 cents a day, and we put it in that glass. That change that went in that glass changed this couple's life. Because after that, what happened was God started to place a burden, and that burden turned into a passion. Now fast forward 16 years. We didn't know that we were not going to be able to have our own children. But what we do know is after that child we sponsored another and another and another and another and another and another and another, and then we got another. Then we became artist associates with an international organization where 22,000 children on every continent was sponsored. But 5 years ago, Pastor Chuck Smith and Pastor Don McClure took me to Salvador. They put me on 11 acres, and they said, Mike, let's do our own orphanage. And so we did an orphanage. So now there's an orphanage, Pottersfield Orphanage, and Pottersfield's kids programs, not only in Central America and the Philippines, but we just started one in Uganda, Africa. Over 1,000 children are sponsored today through that one little girl back in 1993. And let me tell you, I say this to you because if 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that no eye, listen up, Christian, for everyone, big sanctuary, this looks a little different than when Jeremiah walked into the potter's house, but it's still the same message. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what I have prepared for those who love me. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. That's the only place in Scripture where he says, hey, respond. Listen, I'm driving here today, and I'm going, Lord, today's going to be great. We're going to the Rock. We're going to go Mach 2 with our hair on fire for Jesus. I got my blonde Christian babe over here. I get to do the thing I love to do. Lord, this is heaven. He goes, no, it's not. I go, Lord, it is. He goes, no, Mikey, I'm throwing heaven in. You mean I get heaven this side of heaven, then I get to go to heaven? Yeah. Listen, happy. The Bible says happy. Happy is a man whose transgressions have been forgiven. Listen, I'm a potter. Oh, by the way, over and above your first fruits, if you look at the sponsorship table, it's $20 a month. I'll give you a DVD. But I tell you that for this reason. I just believe that all of us doing a little bit can do a lot. That's how I see it. Hey, listen, I got to close. I had this kid come up to me. He's 21. He was in San Luis Obispo. I'll never forget him. He said, "Mike, do you have a child from here?" I go, "Yeah, I do." And he goes, "Hey, that's her. I'm going to spot." I goes, "Yeah, go ahead." He goes, "This is great." And I go, "How old are you?" He goes, "I'm 21. I'm a junior in college at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." He goes, "No, the most amazing thing about this is that I am one of these kids." I go, "What do you mean you're one of these kids?" He goes, "Yeah, I grew up in Juarez, Mexico my whole life. A family sponsored me that I never met. But now I'm going to get to do it, and I'm going to graduate next year." And I'm like all blown away, right? I'm like, "Well, hold on. You're like a little kid on the icebox pitcher kid, now all grown up going to school in the United States sponsor kid." He goes, "Well, I don't know where they put my picture, but yeah." I said, "Give me a hug." He goes, "No, you're dirty." Now, listen, I tell you that for this reason. I didn't know I got dirty. I've been a potter for 30-some years. I'm going, "Lord, how come the potter doesn't know he's dirty? How come people see the clay? The clay to the potter is the substance which I use to express I'm a potter. I don't see it the way that others see it." And the Lord said, "Answer the question." Listen up, Christian. The reason the potter doesn't know he's dirty is because he can't. Because long before he ever begins the work, the potter always sees this first. I didn't open up the kiln and the pot was going, "I did it my way." No. Now, that pot was designed at my kitchen table to be a wow pot. At the end of the service, Pam would unveil it and the audience would go, "Whoa," just like you guys did. "Wow." Now, listen, apart from these hands, it's 150 pounds of dirt, man. You know why it's wow to you and I? Because Madison Avenue has worked throughout our lifetime to get you and I to worship things created. This was designed and created by me. God says, "Yes. Yes. You have been designed and created by me to do a work which I have prepared in advance that you should do." Now, I know there might be one or two of you right now going, "Oh, honey, that would look great in my house." He hung on a cross. He said, "You would look great in my Father's house." He says, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions." These are the words of Christ. "I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life, and no man will come to the Father except through me." John puts it this way, I love it. He says, "He who has the Son has eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. I write these things so that you may know." You right now already know. Have you received Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, according to the Word of God and the beliefs that I'm not kidding you was shared here today, you can't go to heaven. But God is participating with you in this decision. He says in John's Gospel, we've all been created by God, but we're not all children of God unless we receive Him. He says, "I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man will open, he'll come in." That's what happened on August 2nd, 1991. I don't know how to describe it to you. God knocked on my heart. I said, "Come in, Jesus," and He did. He took away an 18-year alcohol addiction, an 11-year cocaine addiction. I mean, honestly, I come from a generation of divorce. There's so many divorces in three generations. We've lost count. And yet, I'm 22 years with a woman that I'm telling you I love more today than I did the day we said, "I do." How did God do it? I don't know. But I know this, I'm here today because I have a burden for marriages that need help. I'm here today because there might be someone that might die out there on Interstate 8 or 5 today, and God's last day on earth for you, He gave you an opportunity to say yes to Him. I'm here today because there might be a Christian right now can identify with Pam. You once have known the Lord, and the world has creeped back in, and you've said yes, and you found yourself in a backslidden state, and God is saying, "Come home." He's saying, "Come, come. Don't go the same way. Just come, come to me." And then He's even saying to some of you who have come to Him, "Will you follow me?" That's a call. That's a response. I remember that day under the piano. I'm broken. I'm busted. I'm born again. I go down to the church. I tell my pastor, "That was good." 5 days later, I'm sitting in a service in a church size just like this. And all of a sudden, my pastor gives an invitation. I go, "I can't go. I can't. What will all these people think about me? I mean, if I come forward, what will they think about me? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Mikey, would you consider right now how much no one is personally thinking about you? I was like always freaked out that people are thinking about me, right? And I'm going, wow, no one's even thinking about me. I mean, I'm always on my mind, but no one else was thinking about me, right? So listen, I lean over to Pam. I said, Pam, I feel like the Lord would have me do this publicly, what took place last week. She goes, I believe he would. I go, would you go with me? She goes, absolutely. Now, no one knew me, but everyone knew Pam. She was a worship leader in this big church. So she grabs her husband by the hand, and we start walking forward. Now, I know there must have been some people going, huh, the Rozelles, I hope everything's okay. I'm sure of it. But here's what the Lord says. Man looks at the outward. I, your God, I see the heart. Let's all stand. Listen. We got to do this quick. Hey, Pam. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, don't leave. Don't leave. Come to this altar now. God's Spirit will draw you. Christian, if you've never received Christ today, someone brought you here today, and you need to come. This is that opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Come. That's why you're here. Come and God will pick you up and set you on the rock, his son Jesus Christ, and forgive you of your sins, set you free. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. But to that Christian here today, that you've received Christ, but the world's creeped back in and you know it. Those things that the Lord is asking you for, and he's asking you, would you surrender it? And you're going, but I want to hang on. He's saying, no, today's the day. Because he knows what happens if you continue. You and I don't know what happens when we continue that behavior. And he's trying to prevent something from that. But I also say this too. Listen up. There might be a marriage here right now, even as I speak, that there might be a divorce paper in a drawer or in the heart. God is saying, I brought you here today because what I have joined together, I don't want any man to separate. So please, do not hesitate. You come out of the far corners if you have to and come and stand. We access heaven through prayer. And God's Spirit will draw man to the cross. I'll be praying. Pam's going to sing. Don't hesitate. Come and stand. Don't miss this opportunity. Jesus says, if you come to me, as the scripture said, not only will I give you living water, but I'll fill your well, man. Like that pitcher of water. Watch what will happen, man. If that's you, just come. I'm praying. Pam's singing. You're walking. Just come. We've got to close. Come. Come now. We'll support you. Come.
I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is in vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Listen, if you brought a friend today, you lean over with your friend right now or your spouse and say, listen, babe, I'll go with you. Let's do this together. Or say it to your friend, but come, we got to close. Don't hesitate. Just grab your friend. Say, this is why I brought you. Would you come? Would you not hesitate? Because I got to close. Come. As God's Spirit will draw, just say, Jesus, help me. Take that step towards him, and he will come to you. Just come. Don't hesitate. Come now.
Can thy rich promises in me fulfill?
Thank you, Lord.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Anybody else? Last verse.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to.
Amen. Bold move, bro.
Thee.
bold move. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Say, Lord Jesus, your Spirit convicted me today, and I bear witness to that. Lord, forgive me. Help me to turn away. I need your help. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a hunger for your word, a desire to know you more and love you more. Because I saw today you loved me first and you got a plan for my life. And I want that from you, Lord. So from this day forward, I'm yours. Everything I got and everything I'm not. And I mean it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Hey, I want to thank all of you for not rushing out. You know, I've noticed sometimes people just want to get on with the day. You know, right now, angels are rejoicing in heaven, the scripture says. And sometimes we can get so busy about miracles, we become familiar with the miracles that are standing right here and becomes commonplace. This is not commonplace. And it's a joy to be here with you. And I want to encourage all of you that responded this morning. God wants to do something beautiful in your life, in all of our lives. You know, I want to encourage you, the Do Something books outside. Take this opportunity. God wants to rock San Diego in an amazing way. Impact 195, we want to impact 195 nations. God wants to use all of us in a beautiful way to make a difference. We have some friends right over here down this aisle. I want you to turn to the right. We just want to pray with you, encourage you, give you resources, anything we can do to help you to grow in your relationship. God may cut off a few extra pieces, but he's forming something amazing for you. So we're going to cheer you on out. Turn to your right and follow them right over there. God bless you.